Thank you very much. If you remain standing, please, we will have the flag salute. Councilmember Bright, would you lead us in the flag salute, please?
It would be my honor. Please follow me. Ready to begin?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. May we have a roll call, please?
Here.
Present.
Here.
Here. Thank you. And we'll move on to the first item on the agenda, which is the closed session announcement. Mr. City Attorney.
Thank you, Honorable Mayor, Council Members. On Monday, August 6, 2012, after a meeting in closed session on one item, and that is anticipated litigation regarding 691 Atlantic City Avenue, Council reconvened into open session and reported there were no reportable actions on that item.
Thank you, sir. Next item on the agenda is the agenda review. At this time, the City Council will review the order of business to be conducted and receive requests for or make announcements regarding any changes in the order of the day.
Honorable Mayor, Council Members, staff would request that the second item on the closed session tonight be pulled and will be re-agendized when Council is again in full session and when all of you are here.
Okay, that's item number two?
That's correct.
It shall be pulled. Okay, do we have
I'd like to pull any? One from the consent agenda. Are we at the right time for that, or do we want to wait till later?
Later.
Later? Okay.
We do that later, please. Okay. There being no further items on the agenda review, we'll move on to the next item. We have not to exceed 3 minutes total on any item of interest within the jurisdiction of this council. The council will listen to all communications. However, in compliance with the Brown Act, the council cannot act on items not on the agenda. Do we have anybody that wishes to come forward? If so, please do.
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, my name is Jeffrey Paul McMorrow. I live at 1782 Long Branch Avenue, Grover Beach. I recently moved here in February. I'm a native of Los Angeles County. I and my dearest friend now reside in our condominium. I'm a licensed attorney and looking for work. Not much to be found at this time. But my friend and I stay very busy volunteering here in the community. We both work at the expiration station under our fearless leader. And we also work at the food pantry on the Baptist property. My friend is now working part-time at the elementary school. I do pro bono work for the Women's Domestic Violence Project, the Women's Pro-Per Clinic up in SLO at the courthouse once a month. And I'm actively seeking to work for the Rural Assistance League in the Domestic Violence Shelter Project. We're encouraged that the city is finding ways to make ends meet. These are tough times economically. And also, we try to actually make up for those shortfalls by doing volunteer work. We're very encouraged living here, and this is a nice place to live. We look forward to getting to know all of you and doing what we can to move things along. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, what was your name again, sir?
Jeffrey Paul McMorrow, MC, capital MORROW.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other public comments?
Good evening, members of the council. I'd like to request at this time that the second item on the consent agenda be removed and that you accept comments from the public.
Okay, I think we'll cover that when we come to the consent agenda. We'll come to that next.
What is your name, sir?
Oh, I'm sorry, Chris.
Consent agenda. So the following routine items listed are for consideration as a group. Do we have anyone that wants to pull any items from the consent agenda?
I wanted to pull item number 2.
2?
Yes.
I agree.
Okay. Any others?
I would like a short discussion on item number 4.
Then we will pull item 4 also.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we accept items 1, 3, and 5 as presented.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion to accept items 1, 3, and 5 on the consent agenda. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Those items carried.
You good? Okay.
And those items, we'll move them to after the regular business. So, Mr. Conde, item number 2 has been pulled. We'll hear that later. Okay. Then we have taken care of the consent agenda. So we will move on to regular business. The next item is number 6, which is adoption of the recognized obligation payment schedule for January 1 of 2013 to June 30 of 2013. And this is an item that has to be heard by the successor agency. So what I'm going to do is recess the regular council meeting and call to order the successor agency. So, clerk, may we have a roll call, please?
Board Member Bright.
Here.
Board Member Mullen.
Present.
Board Member Peterson.
I'm here.
Chair Shelley Jackson. Chair Nichols.
Here. Okay, with that, we go to item 6. And I believe Ms. Chapman.
Honorable Mayor and City Council, before you tonight as successor agency is the recognized obligation payment schedule that is brought to you twice a year for the improvement agency of all of the obligations, which lists the outstanding debt, the current period outstanding debt or obligation, the prior period from January 1st, 2012 to June 30th, 2012, estimated versus actual payments, and also the adjustments that'll be made to the RPTTF.
Which is?
Which I can't remember what it's called, Martin. Do you recall? All
trust.
Of a sudden,
it's
I just went
it's
blank.
A trust fund.
It's the trust fund account for the obligations. I'm sorry, I drew a blank
revolving
on that.
Something.
The next page is the actual recognized obligation payment schedule for the ROPS 3. This is the third time the ROPS is being completed. It lists all of our obligations as listed in the budget for this fiscal year and gives, under the funding source, a six-month total for January to June 2013. The next page is any notes to the Department of Finance as to any thing that we want to highlight to them. Currently, we had two notes included, which is the transfer of property for low and moderate housing project. I just wanted to reiterate to them that that is a transfer of property and not money. And the second is for the prior payment period that there are two August 1st payments shown in the total on the next page, August 1st, 2011 and August 1st, 2012. Along with the February 1st, 2012 payment are all being shown on that line, and it states as to why. The next page is basically a reconciliation of all payments that were made January to June. And the following page is blown up a little bit with the columns that were didn't have anything in them removed so that you could actually read the document because it was so small that you could not read the data that was there.
So it's the same
I redacted.
Thing.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
That page
just
will not be
going.
That
you.
Page will not be going to the state because okay. It's basically for your purposes so you can read the document.
Thank appreciate that.
And I was wondering if you have any questions. This is just going to be an ongoing item every 6 months.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate
it.
Anybody on the council have any questions?
Mr. Mayor, if I could, just for clarification, the trust fund is actually maintained by the county.
Yes.
And that is all property, what had been our tax increment revenue.
Clarification, appreciate it.
May I? I have
yes.
a question.
Yes.
So is there any question that these aren't going to be approved?
The process is after council actions or the board action, assuming that it's an affirmative, the item moves to the oversight board, which is formed for the city of Grover Beach. And assuming that it is approved by the oversight board, it moves on to Department of Finance. I would like to be able to tell you with any confidence that there's not going to be any hiccups, but based on the fact that this form was provided to staff on Friday, I
mm-hmm.
think, I'm not sure that the state yet knows what they're looking for exactly. So there's a chance that it could come back, most likely for format corrections or moving numbers over. As far as the actual money that's allocated, I think we're at a place where everybody recognizes that these are the debts and they're legitimate and
okay.
they need to be paid.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Question, please.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Do we have a time frame on this then?
Yes.
Yes.
The process needs to be completed and to the Department of Finance, I believe, by September 4th now.
Yeah, it's September 4th due to the first being a Saturday and the third
okay.
being a holiday.
Okay.
So it's now September
go.
4th.
And then how soon before we hear? Did they give any indication?
I think it's the middle of October.
Under the new, I think under the new 1448, the new bill that was passed, amending AB 26, I think there's a 10-day period now that the state has to approve or react to any action taken by the oversight board. I assume the oversight board will meet either sometime later this week or sometime next week. So we probably, by September 15th, we should probably know if there are issues, and then they have another additional period of time to identify those issues. But we should certainly know by next council meeting as to if there is any reaction from the Department of Finance on this.
Okay. Then let's say that everything is approved. We already have a bond payment schedule. What about these other payments for the general fund, et cetera? Do we have a schedule for that?
The item for the water fund and for the general fund city loans were disapproved on the last ROPS by the Department of Finance. We are putting them back on because AB 1484 has some wording in the legislation that after the...
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'm ready to make a recommendation.
None? Okay. I will open this a bit to the public for comment. It's a business item. Being nobody come forward, we'll bring it back to the council. I will entertain a motion.
Well, I'll make that motion. And that we adopt the resolution approving the ROPS and authorize the city manager to present that to the oversight board for its consideration and approval.
I'll second that.
Very good. We have a motion and a second. I believe we have a roll call vote, please.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay, the next item on the agenda, moving on, is the review.
Honorable Chair, it would probably be appropriate to adjourn
successor yes.
agency meeting.
Thank you. I will adjourn the successor agency and bring it back to the City Council. So now, with City Council back in session, we'll move on to the next item, which is review of resolutions to be considered at the annual League of California Cities.
Yes.
Yes,
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, as you've indicated, the League of California Cities meetings will actually take place the first week in September, and the purpose of this item is to review the resolutions that will be presented during the business meeting. And get the council's direction as to how the delegate will proceed in terms of voting on these items. I should mention that at this point there has been a change in terms of the delegate to the convention. Mayor Scholes will be representing the city, and as I'm aware, he's the only council member that will be attending. He's not here tonight, obviously, but what we would suggest is the council deliberate on each of these resolutions individually, take a position on those resolutions, and then staff will ensure that those positions are communicated to the mayor in time for his carrying them down to San Diego the first week in September. These resolutions you have before you come from a variety of sources. Some of them are municipal resolutions, and I'll just read them out and then ask that the council deliberate on them independently. You have a resolution encouraging California cities to oppose the California Desert Protection Act of 2011. You have a resolution requesting consideration of suspension of the implementation or revision of the California Global Warming Solutions Act, AB 32 of 2006. Both of these are being recommended by the City of Needles. You have a resolution calling upon the governor and legislature to enact legislation that would correct inefficiencies in the audit system distribution, and inequities in the formulas for distributing court-ordered arrest and citation fines, fees, and assessments generated by local government. This the source of this resolution is the City of Glendora. Then you also have a resolution in the League of California Cities raising public awareness and supporting tougher laws relating to internet crimes against children. The source is the San Diego County Division of the League of California Cities. And finally, you have a resolution calling for an emergency management mission for California cities. And the source is the League's Public Safety Policy Committee. Some of these resolutions are subject to further review by the policy committees. Unfortunately, the policy committees won't be meeting until the first day of the convention, so you won't have the advantage of their deliberation. I think this was similar to a situation that we encountered last year. At this point, staff is just recommending that the council review the individual resolutions and provide direction to the delegate. And the League's recommending approval of all of them. So that's basically my staff report. If you've got any questions of me, I'd be glad to answer.
Okay, before we ask you any questions, as far as procedure is concerned, we have three, four, five resolutions to discuss. And I agree with you that we will discuss each one of them. But would we open this for public comment at the end of the discussion as to each resolution, or would we be better off to handle and go to the next one?
Okay, then open to the public if you so desire
at that time. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, do we have any questions of staff at this point?
No.
Okay, there being none, then I think what we'll do is let's take the first resolution, which is resolution number three, the one encouraging California cities to oppose the California Desert Protection Act of 2011. Who would like to initiate some conversation relating to that? Ms. Molnar?
I have a little concern over this. We do need to protect our deserts, and I disagree with this resolution, actually. Okay. I read the whole thing, and from what I understand, it shouldn't even go in front of the League, in my opinion.
Okay.
I have to say, I don't think I have enough information to oppose it. I understand what their argument is, but I don't have enough information to take a stand at this point in time. So I wouldn't feel comfortable opposing this particular piece of legislation.
Okay, Ms. Peterson.
Once I read everything, I understood why they were asking for what they were asking for, and it seemed to make sense to me. I'm thinking that perhaps it would be an idea to let our delegate hear what further deliberations come forward and allow him to make his decision when he's there.
Okay. The only comment I would make is that it appears to me that this act, Desert Protection Act, goes a bit overboard in that the federal government is again attempting to take control of more of the land of California. I think the state of California should be better able to control our own property within the state. And as I read the resolution, which the, my understanding, the League of California Cities want to oppose the California Desert Protection Act. And the reason they want, one of the reasons they want to oppose it, I believe, is because, again, they are trying to usurp a lot of the authority of the state of California by converting it to federal land and let the federal government take charge of what we should or should not do with this land. So in that respect, I personally would support and encourage the League to continue to oppose that act, simply on the basis that, again, I would like to see California be able to control its own property and not let the federal government start taking, they already have control of a number of, or a large swath of the state property where the federal government has taken control of the land. It's under the Federal Bureau of Land Management.
Oppose this particular resolution.
Okay. Well, we have one that, myself being in favor, one against it. You have feeling, you've indicated you are also against it.
I'm in support of the League of Cities position, which is encouraging California cities to oppose it.
Okay, that's two.
I can't support it. I can't support the opposition to this. I just can't at this point. I don't have enough information to do that. All I'm reading is really one side, and I don't have both sides of the. I can't support it.
Okay, Council.
And again, and whatever procedure, however, the mayor wishes to proceed. You did mention that you wanted to open it to the public,
yes.
But in a 2-2 is a no action, which basically leaves the vote in the hands of the delegate who is not here.
That's correct.
So there you have it.
Okay. All right. Then we can move on to the next resolution, which is resolution number 4, the resolution requesting consideration of suspension of implementation or revision of the California Global Warming Solutions Act, which is, in fact, AB 32 from the year 2006. Would you like to start with that, young lady?
I would. I could absolutely support this. I know that there's been a lot of discussion in the air board arena. It's very confusing and very frustrating. Whereby you're one group's trying to attain one goal, where it's where the other goal is they're fighting each other. It's just ridiculous, and it's really a shame. So I absolutely would support this until they get it straightened around. It's just costing people a lot of money, effort, and it's ridiculous, unfortunately. So okay. I would absolutely support this.
Good. Thank you. Ms. Peters?
I think Councilmember Bright has had more opportunity than any of us to observe this with her service on the Air Pollution Control District. And based on her comments and also our
climate change, and that absolutely is not true, that it is happening, and we need to accept those facts. So I do not support this.
Well, may I say something? Absolutely, I agree. Global warming is here. That's not what I'm saying. We have a situation in our county in Carrizo Plains where we cannot attain the state standard because we have transport from the San Joaquin Valley. And so we pay the price for the emissions that blow over from the vehicle emissions into the Carrizo Plains, where there's nothing. But that we pay the price for that transport. And so we can't ever, we'll never, at least at this point in time, be able to attain the state standards. But that's not our pollution. And so the businesses there, they pay a dear price for these emissions that blow over. So their stationary motors have to meet this higher standard that they wouldn't normally have to meet. But because we can't meet the state standard of the ozone level, they have to pay a higher price for their engines to have to meet a higher standard. So it really is not fair. It's not right, but that's the way it is at this point in time because the standards don't correlate.
Okay. All right. Okay. Very
Can I
good.
Comment as well?
Go ahead.
I don't know about that specific situation. However, I don't think that a decision to ask that the bugs be worked out before any more time and energy is spent on it, that is not a decision to against a belief or a non-belief in global warming. And it's not a decision not to address it. It's a decision to address it correctly.
Exactly.
And I support that.
But it has nothing to do with the global warming aspect or at all whatsoever, because absolutely, I agree. And our air pollution control districts believe that it is, but mm-hmm. but trying to make the solution work to benefit what the problem is, that's what I'm talking about. But you're penalizing the people that aren't causing the problem.
Okay.
I believe
for a consideration of suspension of the implementation or a revision. And if they can get some of those problems worked out, then I think the implementation would be much smoother. And I have to agree with you that I am in favor of this resolution. So with that, we have three that are in favor of it and one that is against it. I will open this up to public comment if anybody wishes to step forward and comment on this resolution. There being none, I'll bring it back to the council. And it appears that we have consensus, three in favor of it and one against it. So let's move on to the next item, which is resolution number one. This is the resolution calling upon the governor and the legislature to enact legislation that would correct the deficiencies in the audit system, distribution system, and inequities in the formulas for distributing court-ordered arrest and citation fines, fees, and assessments generated by local government. Let's start that one. Debbie, would you like to comment on this one?
Yes, I'm in favor of this one. It's another case of the punishment should fit the crime, or you should put the money where the money was generated. So I'm in favor of this one, too. If a county is not generating the crimes, they should not be paying more. And if they are generating the crimes and the fees are coming in from it, then they ought to be, those fees ought to go to those areas. So I'm in favor of the league's position on this.
Okay, Ms. Molnar?
I'm in favor.
Very good.
Yep.
Ms. Bright?
I'm with you. I agree.
We have four people in favor of it. In reading some of the information provided by the League of California Cities, I think all of you probably read the same paragraph I did, which boils down to on various citations, fines, fees, what have you, it appears that the city, such as the city of Grover Beach, gets probably about a little over 12% of whatever the fine is, and the state and the county end up getting 87 and a little over 87% of the fine. So we are getting virtually nothing on these fines where somebody goes speeding down Grand Avenue in Grover Beach and gets a ticket. Just remember that that ticket, that citation, is only going to give us about 12% of whatever the fee is under the current circumstances. So I think this is an outstanding crimes against children. Ms. Bright, would you like to comment on that?
Well, I have to say I'm going to be in support of this.
Okay. Moving right on, Ms. Molnar.
I support this, though I'd like to say that I worked for 10 years in early childhood, and part of the problem that everyone needs to remember is parents who abdicate their responsibility to someone else. So we do need such an item, but we also need responsible parents who should be supervising the children, and young children should not just have unchecked access to the Internet at all times.
Good point. Thank you. Councilmember Peterson.
I support the League's position.
Very good. I will open this to the public. If anyone wishes to step forward, please do so.
Mayor and Council, Jeffrey Paul McMorrow at 1782 Long Branch. I'm in favor of controls only to the extent they don't infringe on our First Amendment right to free speech. And I would agree with Councilman Members Molnar's position. Much of the responsibility is properly on the parents to control access, and I think that's where most of our parenting should focus. This is something that the more legislation, the more restriction to things that some of us as adults, it falls on us, and we don't have the same access if certain laws like this go out of control. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
May I comment? A lot of this has to do with strengthening the laws that are already in place, about the wording, that it becomes a felony and that sort of thing. It's really not about about children on the Internet, that sort of thing. So it's really about strengthening the laws. And once the evidence rules about child pornography, once you've been accused and that sort of thing. So just to kind of give you an idea.
Thank you. Okay, so we have consensus. We have 4-0 on that one. And the last resolution is a resolution calling for an emergency management mission for California cities. Ms. Molnar, would you like to start on that one? That's resolution number 5.
How they're supposed to go about it. Makes for a little more organized situation if one arises. Also, if everybody has a plan at home, they are more likely to be more relaxed about those type of events, even if they don't happen. It doesn't mandate that the city do anything. It simply is a statement of general principle, I guess, encouraging cities to move forward with those kind of plans if they don't have them in place already.
Yeah, I think that's the critical part. It's just an encouragement for each of the communities to establish a management plan, emergency management plan.
And our city already has that. Our city has an emergency preparedness plan already in place. But
as long as it doesn't suddenly become something that gets regulated and that's going to cost us and then just another state requirement that's going to involve staff time and finances and
yeah, there are no mandates in it. Okay. So that wouldn't be the case.
All right.
Okay. Councilmember Peterson, do you have any comments?
I think it's just advocating best practice and having a mission statement and following through, and I think it's a good idea.
Okay. Ms. Bright?
As I said, we already do. I mean, we already pretty much have that for city staff, so I think it's just we're already there, so I support it.
Okay. Thank you. It appears we have consensus then. We have 4 that support it. I will open this to the public. If anyone wishes to comment on this resolution, step forward, please. There being none, we'll close it, bring it back to the council. And that will conclude that item. So we will now move to the pulled consent agenda items. And the first item is item number 2 on the consent agenda.
Did I understand earlier that it was going to be pulled completely from tonight? Isn't that what was requested, or?
No.
That was on closed session. Item 2 on closed session was pulled.
Okay. Oh, I did. Okay. Thank you, then.
Item 2 on the consent agenda was also pulled by Ms. Peterson, right?
Yes. And it's a question that I think that our community development director can help me with. I was responding to the letter we received a few days ago, and I'm not sure if it was the same property that we...
Yeah, 231 Beckett Place.
Yes, good evening, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council. Just a quick review, at least, of the area that the letter addresses. The area in purple is the what the council action was on August 6th. This purple area would remain coastal industrial commercial. There was a change at the meeting after discussion to take the area here that was previously coastal commercial and was contemplated as coastal commercial to be consistent with the land use designation. The council did include those based on some public testimony as well as deliberations by the council. So this was the area we changed. That maintained, if you recall, the coastal commercial buffer area along North First, adjacent to the, and along Beckett, adjacent to the residential areas to the east. So that was the action that the council took. The letter from Mr. DeConde is not questioning this. His property is located right here.
So it's remaining the same?
It would remain, it would take on the new zoning of coastal commercial, which does not allow light industrial uses as the CIC zone does. So his letter is, you could ask him to speak about it, but I would say his letter now is that is a non-conforming use, also based on the council's change of that section. The abandonment period used to be 1 year. Now it would only be 6 months. So with any kind of light industrial use, now if that property becomes vacant for over 6 months, you would not be able to reestablish the light industrial use because it is not a permitted use.
So I have a question about the change from the 12 months to the 6 months. What was the reasoning behind that? What was that? What were we trying to address in adjusting that?
There have been comments from the council, and I believe even at the zoning code update workshop, there was some direction from staff, direction from the council and staff's opinion. I know the comments that I've heard over the years have been mostly, I believe, from some of the used car lots and automotive repair uses in our visitor serving in our downtown area that have lapsed and have been reestablished, and you know they have been meeting that threshold.
The legal nonconforming designation goes away.
That's all for now.
Is it?
Okay.
Please. Molnar?
Thank you. What is the difference then between CIC and CC? What's the core difference then?
Getting back to the land use designations, in the general plan update in 2010, the council took this entire area except for the Mr. Ford's properties here. This entire area became, in the general plan, visitor-serving mixed use, which would, as it is, the primary intent then is to have visitor-serving or more retail commercial types of uses, also to allow mixed use, which had not been previously allowed. So the intent of the visitor serving mixed use is not to allow industrial, but to transform into more retail and office uses. I think it's important to point out right now the CIC coastal industrial commercial zone is very restrictive. It did allow live work, but it did not allow mixed use of any type. So anyhow, that would be the core purpose of the visitor-serving mixed use. And that's reflected in the zoning that was created for that particular land use designation to be implemented. And in recognition, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago, we purposely expanded the uses within that realm as wide as we could to allow all sorts of office uses. But again, the visitor serving mixed use designation specifically is silent about industrial uses, and common sense would tell us that that's not necessarily the type of use you would have in that designation.
Is silent about it, but doesn't say you can't have it? There's just concern for the gentleman. He made a good point, and that in our economic times, you know, sometimes it's difficult to, you know, it takes a while to lease something again, and this is his, you know, we don't want to hurt someone's livelihood. And so the visitor serving misuse is mixed use is the same as the coastal commercial?
The visitor serving mixed use land use designation in the general plan is implemented by two zones, the visitor serving that you see on West Grand Avenue, and then this coastal commercial zone was also created to implement the goals of that particular land use designation, albeit, again, we made them a lot.
Okay. Is it not possible to have a bit of a compromise in terms of the abandonment? Could you designate a certain area be a year as opposed to on Grand Avenue be 6 months? I mean, is that something to consider?
Honorable Mayor, council members, I think if it is the desire of the council to consider basically exempting this zone from the six-month abandonment and leaving it at 12 months, that would be applicable to the entire zone. Any area in the city that is zoned coastal commercial would have that 12-month period. We would also need to return with the first reading of the ordinance and basically go through the process again.
And if I would just clarify, the only areas of the city that got this new coastal commercial zoning are the areas that you see here in yellow, basically between Ramona and Atlantic City. And then there's one small parcel, I don't show it on the map, just to the south of the city's parking lot, basically a half block between Long Branch and Third.
But we wouldn't be able to limit it to his property. It would be zone-wide.
Of course, that's what I was referring to, that because I knew that zone was just right over there. It's just a suggestion. I mean,
may I ask for a clarification?
Sure.
So the coastal commercial, did that not include some light industrial? Didn't we talk about like woodworking?
We allowed artisan manufacturing.
Artisan manufacturing.
Yes.
Okay. And can you kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
I'll read you the
please.
Definition. An establishment that manufactures and assembles small products primarily by hand, including jewelry, pottery, and other ceramics, as well as small glass and metal art and craft products. Also includes small-scale wine production of less than 500 cases annually. Retail sales of the products are also allowed on-site. So it's fairly, it's narrowly focused.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let's hold any further discussion. I would like to open this to the public.
It's not my intent to go over that again. What I'm really asking for, and I thought the thrust of my letter was asking you more to rely less on the coercive elements of zoning policy and more on those that seek change through offering increased opportunities. And in particular, I'm thinking of, while the vision and goal of having a visitor service area in the city and beach-oriented and what have you may be very reasonable and far-sighted, the question is how appropriate it is for the more immediate policy-relevant future in terms of how sustainable and viable are commercial and retail kinds of uses in that area, particularly when you suddenly restrict it to a small zone. I think if you give businesses the opportunity and you reach critical mass, things start happening in your development process and other areas develop, then those businesses will change. forcing them to change before the time is ripe, I think, is both painful for the individuals and the businesses in the area, and I don't know that it's useful to the city. I would ask you to take the time to consider how appropriate and how difficult it would be to begin or start up a new commercial or retail business in this Beckett area, as it has low visibility, low exposure, little traffic. It would be hard to pull customers off of Grand Avenue. And therein, it differs from industrial, which doesn't necessarily rely upon pulling in customers. I would also ask you to look at the vacancy factor. If you look around, not just Grover Beach, but many cities in California, vacancies can now exceed well beyond a year in both commercial and industrial. I don't know that one would be abandoning their use or their intended use just because they cannot find a tenant or they're on hard times. So I'd ask you to take that into consideration. Then I'd also like you to think a moment about the layout on Beckett. If I can take you conceptually for a moment to the corner of First Street and Grand, if you stand on that corner, you cannot see the front of Beckett. You cannot see the front of Front Street, a storefront there area. It's really only about two blocks, I'd say square blocks, but they're sort of trapezoidal in shape. And then you have a small buffer zone. That hardly bodes well for developing critical mass, on top of which, if you were looking at storefronts, they wouldn't even face each other. They're back to back. Given those kinds of difficulties, I'm asking that you try to find some means, and it doesn't have to be the means I suggested, to try and mitigate the transition period so that people aren't forced into moving too quickly or at jeopardizing their livelihood. And I thank you for your time. I'd like to thank the city staff, too, who have been very generous in the time they've given me. And I just wanted to let you have an opportunity to look at the issue one more time.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Do we have anybody else from the public that wishes to comment on this? There being none, we will bring it back, close it to the public, bring it back to the council for further discussion and a decision. And I will only make one comment that any changes, if I'm not mistaken, that we make now, we're going to have to go back and start the entire process over again, right from scratch with the first public hearing. And, pardon?
That's correct. You'd have to go back to a rescheduling of a first public hearing.
Thank you. I'm sorry that Mr. DeConte didn't come before us during the other opportunities before the Planning Commission and or the Council. I think he... I'm concerned about it, but it's the property is still zoned commercial. It just does not include the light industrial. And I really don't think we want to encourage industrial in that area as we continue forward with the development of that whole beachfront area as we move forward. So those are my comments, and I will now turn it over. Ms. Bright, would you like to make some further comments?
Well, I am troubled. He makes some very good points. It does concern me. I mean, particularly in, you know, I hate to keep using economic environment, but, you know, that is what it is, and that's where we are at this point in time.
Revisiting, because I'm not sure which comments you were addressing when you said that the gentleman was raising something.
Then? Can Certainly. I be specific? I'm talking about, at this point in time, well, what Mr. DeConte said about, you know, you may not be abandoning your use, you just may not be able to get a tenant in 6 months' time.
Okay. Switching the 12 to 6 months means coming back with the first reading, re-noticing it, and basically changing the language of the code. And I think...
So does that mean we have to go through the Coastal Commission? I mean...
We still have to go through Coastal Commission. Once your action is completed, because this is in the coastal zone, so you would have to go to a coastal commission in any event.
Okay, so we haven't been there yet.
Basically, I think with noticing requirements, there would be a certain amount of cost involved re-noticing the item. And it could come back to you at the next, and I'm not trying, depending on staff schedule, but as far as legally noticing periods, it could come back to you for first reading at the next council meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, if I could, I'd like to ask the community development director what other kind of changes might be necessary. The city attorney has mentioned language changes. Any other changes that would need to be made?
If you're just addressing the non-conforming section, there would be no need to go back and revisit the local coastal program amendment or the general plan amendment, because those actions are not dictated by this change. So there's no environmental issues related to this as well. So I think at this point, if the council wanted to make a change, we would just want direction to make sure is the council wanting to see language that would be 1 year for everywhere in the city, or would it be 180 days for all zones except for the CC zone, coastal commercial zone, and that would be expanded to a year. So we would just need some direction on the language there.
Well, you know, I really didn't think of it like that. No one had brought up that point to me. But I think when it's somebody's livelihood, I think at this time, I think that if it's somebody's business and it's their livelihood, I think we need to really think about that.
The CIC, the Coastal Industrial Commercial, in that long strip of land there that's owned by Brad Ford, which is a couple of acres, suppose a hotel came in and really wanted to locate there, and Mr. Ford wanted to work with them as either the you know, the holder of the land and let them lease the land and he would put a hotel on it, or suppose, well, in some way Mr. Ford was to reach agreement. How, under what we've got going on now, how difficult would it be for the zoning to be changed so there could be a big hotel there right along Highway 1?
What? I'm just checking the industrial use table before I answer. Yeah. So lodging is not a permitted use in the coastal industrial commercial zone. So if that were to happen, then the applicant would be amending the general plan and zoning code, and that action would also have to go before the Coastal Commission for final action. The only thing I can say about that is that the Coastal Commission is going to look favorably on a change from industrial to a commercial or a visitor serving use like that, whereas the opposite they would not be so supportive of. So certainly that would be an easier change.
Okay.
But it's still a lengthy process.
And we can only at this point do three of those a year, three
general plan amendments, correct?
Unless we become a charter city, in which case we have a lot more flexibility to do more zoning changes to accommodate businesses.
Correct, and I believe
general
it's four.
Plan. General plan.
Excuse me, general plan zoning. Amendments.
And it's
yeah.
Four general plan amendments.
It's four
in
amendments
a year.
Per year. Yeah.
Oh, we can do four now. Okay.
And mind you, you can group several general plan amendments into one amendment as well.
Okay, so we have a way of dealing with it even if nothing else changes. Okay, so, and because when I look at that, I realize that the area that is really critical for visitor serving, I'm not suggesting making changes, I'm just looking at what our thoughts were. The area that's really critical for drawing people into our city to recreate and use hotels and gain more TOT is the area along Highway 1. And, of course, we've still kept that coastal industrial commercial, which doesn't allow that so easily now. So what I'm thinking there is that where there's a will, there's a way. If we want to go there eventually, we'll find a way to go there eventually. The six-month period was really put in. I would support a change in this area to giving them a year, because we have established businesses that we wish to support. And should we need to make changes, to accommodate visitor serving uses, we do have a way of doing so. So I'm inclined to say, just in this area, let's make an exception. Let's give them a year. And that would be my solution.
But not in the main core Grand Avenue.
Right. Just in the Coastal Commercial, that we give them a year.
Okay, just right. Council? No?
No.
Okay. Ms. Molnar.
I actually agree. Though I want to stress an interesting point. The car lots actually on Grand Avenue bring an awful lot of sales tax, in case anybody had really thought about that. I can understand why we would not want them on Grand Avenue. That's just a little aside there. I am in agreement, though, to switch the period of time to 1 year on the entire CC, and I will go along with that decision.
And I'd like to comment that my comments were not against used car lots. They were just pro visitor serving. I bought my car on one of them. I'm not complaining. Okay. I shop in Grover.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, well, I'm good with that. That's great.
Okay, so as I understand, the council has decided that they would like to change the transition to 1 year period instead of 6 months for the entire CC area. Is that correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So,
staff, clear on that?
We will modify section 7.40.050A, termination by abandonment, to 1 year for the Coastal Commercial Zone.
Thank you.
Okay, and that will come back, and we'll start over with the first reading.
We'll have a first reading at the will be the first meeting in September, but it'll be the second meeting, the 17th.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. But I do have one comment on that.
We'll come back, and the public will have an opportunity to speak with reference to the entire zoning change.
Right. And then as far as the extent of staff's presentation, that's going to be at the wish of the council.
We can minimize it to just this particular issue, but the whole thing will be available.
Correct.
But the public be able to speak anyway. I mean, we'd always allow them to speak no matter what. So, but we'll.
Okay, council
their
has.
Their presentation will be this.
All right, council has direction.
Okay.
So that takes care of that item that we pulled from the agenda. We'll move on to the next item, which is item 4, that was pulled. That is response to the grand jury report regarding out of sight, out of mind medical marijuana. Chief Copsey.
Thank you, Mayor Pro Tem, members of the council. I can do this. I can either go through the staff report or I can answer questions however you would like.
I don't know why it was pulled. What would be your desire?
I just have a couple questions. It refers to that we have an ordinance that states there is no dispensaries allowed here.
That's correct.
In the city. Is that enough to refer to mobile dispensaries? I mean, because I read this and it didn't mention mobile, but it said it included that in the ordinance.
It is staff's position that, yes, it is included.
Okay. Then what happens I don't think there are vans marked that say, you know, we sell pot. I mean, what if someone comes into town and is delivering and you don't? Are you aware that things like that happen? What is the procedure then?
Well, I'll give you one example. It was the first quarter of the year. It was back in March. We had information that a person was operating a mobile dispensary within the city. And we just went and made contact with them and let them know of our ordinance, that they needed a business tax and it's not a permitted use in a home occupancy type of thing. And they ceased. They stopped and eventually they moved. But they were very cooperative, and we let them know that they aren't allowed to do that in that neighborhood. It was in a neighborhood. It wasn't in a business, a serving area. So that's how we dealt with that one. And other ones that we've dealt with, we have worked with our district attorney's office, and I think we've only dealt with one or two others, and they've stopped.
So are these ones that set up base here?
Or? The two that we have dealt with, yes. They actually were delivering.
Yeah. Okay.
In our opinion, it is. And there's people that don't think that is. In our opinion, it is.
Okay. All right. All right. Yeah. I just wanted to clarify that issue. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions of the chief?
Well, now I do. So then, if it's your opinion that it's illegal, then you would arrest them.
We would take
or ticket them or tell them to move on or whatever.
In each case, we would take the case in a specific, and we deal with them on a case by case basis because there's so many nuances with the marijuana these days, the medical marijuana, the mobile dispensaries, or the collective, or,
mm-hmm.
And we typically take each case and deal with it in that. So there's not a real hard, fast answer that yes, we would arrest them because
or not arrest them.
They may have protections in
sure.
In place for it. They may be a legitimate caregiver, or they may have other needs.
Okay.
We would deal with it with the district attorney's office and what we could prosecute on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
No.
If there are no other questions, then I'll entertain a motion on item number 4.
Oh, okay. I'll make a motion that the City Council approve the responses to the grand jury report and authorize the mayor to execute the letter on behalf of the city.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Voice vote is fine.
Voice vote. Okay. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries 4-0 with one absent. Okay, that takes care of the agenda items. We move on to next item on the agenda, which is council committee reports. Do we have any committee reports to be made this evening? Start with Ms. Bright.
Oh, you know, I do not.
Okay.
It's been so long, I don't even have my notes. So I'm sorry, I don't.
Okay, you do have an air pollution meeting coming up, don't you?
September.
That's
September.
Okay. Let's move on to Ms. Peterson.
I have some small reports on some of them. The Chamber of Commerce, as you all know, is doing the Stone Soup Festival this weekend, and the amalgamation of the Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande Chambers has gone fairly smoothly with a few hiccups, but they've been very amenable to resolving hiccups. And So just wanted to let you all know that public can see this. Wanted you all to have a copy of this, so I'll pass some down to you two at that end and one to Councilmember Molnar, and I'll give the rest to the city clerk for distribution to city staff. The good news about this is that this has been a difficult transition for the VCB. They've really turned around and changed over the 3 years that I've been on their board, and I've had to ask some hard questions, and the first year that they were working on it, as you all know, that I was there, they lost some money, quite a significant chunk of money. And the second year, last year, they just about broke even, which are both fairly standard in terms of most business startups. And I would call it a business startup because it was a complete reworking of the whole committee. And this year, they are showing a profit of $300,000. There or thereabouts, which is just about exactly what was lost 3 years ago. So I'm very encouraged that the board has worked well with staff there, and they're absolutely moving in the right direction now, and their Saver event is coming along really well. And they're right about where they ought to be now. And I'm very pleased to report that. So that's all good news. And as far as the Economic Vitality Corporation, they did not meet this month, but they have sent out their monthly economic report. So if any members of the council or city residents wish to have copies of that, I can make that available through city staff.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Excuse me.
Ms. Molnar?
I have a question. What was this about the hotel?
I was contacted by a hotel, and I'm not going to give out the name because I think it would be inappropriate until we go further on that, but I was contacted by one of the members of the board of the EVC to locate one of their hotels here.
Oh, to build one?
To build one.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay. Ms. Molnar, do you have any report?
No, everything meets next month.
Okay. And the Sanitation District has had two meetings. We have not had anything of significance. The plant continues to operate well. We've had simply requests for repairs and purchase of mechanical parts and things of that nature, but nothing of any substance. And, of course, the hearing building, as you stand there looking at the DMV, a building on the left, and I believe that's where the board has their offices, and I assume that's where we'll be meeting.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Let's move on. And we have any, I don't have any city council member items at this time. I don't have any council communications. City manager reports or comments?
Just a report came to our attention just in the last couple of days that, as the council may recall, in February, the council approved participation agreement, the Air Pollution Control District, for the development of the regional greenhouse gas reduction plan. And the first of four public hearings are going to be held actually this Thursday. This is a public workshop, I should say, to receive input from the general public relative to the planning effort. It's going to take place at 6:30 p.m. Thursday, August 23rd. It's going to be at Cuesta College in the Associated Students Auditorium, and I'll have flyers distributed to your boxes tomorrow.
That's Thank it. You, sir. Moving on, attorney reports and comments?
Thank you, Mayor. None.
Okay, with that, that concludes the agenda with the exception of the closed session items. Council, would you announce that, please?
Certainly, Honorable Mayor, members of the council, it's the intention of the City Council to meet on one item. It's existing litigation, City of Grover Beach versus Shukla.
Okay, with that, we will go to closed session.